Sunday, April 15th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So I have purposely avoided discussing highly speculative and emotion-based storylines such as QAnon for a while now. And I'm not saying this entire idea is completely false, as I have heard from those I trust that it might have at one point been legit to some degree, but was then hijacked and used for exactly the type of manipulative purposes that I have seen it as all along, primarily to stop those of us fighting to expose the truth from going further under the false premise that it's already happening, whatever it is to the individual, because you see everyone seems to read into Q whatever they want to believe, and it allows them to justify anything that would otherwise reveal the reality of the situation. Oh, did Trump do exactly the opposite of what he promised? Well, that's a ploy against the deep state. Trust the plan, the one that appears to look just like the same war agenda we've seen for decades. But it's 4D chess, and it will all become clear when all the bad guys, oddly all Democrats, end up in Guantanamo. This type of wait-and-see mentality is exactly what we are now seeing in regard to Syria, that somehow America first turned into bombing other countries because the U.S. is, as they tell it, getting rid of parts of the deep state, and apparently Iran is next, and we should all just trust the plan. And again, is this possible? Could I be wrong? Of course. But am I crazy for wanting to see some sort of evidence, anything at all other than cryptic messages that would be interpreted 100 different ways that are being applied to events after the fact? And even if they do actually come from an insider, and even if they did know what was coming, how does that confirm for us that their intentions are good? How do we know this is not simply someone feeding us inside information to keep us on the hook, all the while the individual has the worst of intentions? We don't, not for sure. And while there are those out there preaching certainty, claiming they just know what it all means, that is based on their interpretations and not the facts. And as I have said many times, anyone telling you that they know what the truth is or that they have the answer is likely leading you astray for one reason or another. While those of us stressing caution and skepticism are labeled as the bad guys because we don't trust the plan, well, I don't inherently trust any plan that stems from the likes of John Bolton or the rest of Trump's now super hawkish administration. I'm always open to listen, to consider, but blindly trust? Never. Meanwhile, we're seeing Nikki Haley again today warn that Assad is ready to go if chemical weapons are used again. It's like they're signaling to the U.S.-led factions on the ground to strike again, or at least unwittingly giving them the green light. Imagine if you were the rebels in Syria getting your ass kicked by Syria and Russia, and you knew that all you had to do was stage, or even in this case, just carry out a chemical attack anywhere, and the U.S. would simply assume it was Assad as it has every time before. And then you not only get a free attack on your enemy, courtesy of the American taxpayer, but you get the U.S. committed to staying in Syria to fight the Syrian government for you. Truly, I think it's more the former, that the U.S. is more aware of how this is going down, as their history demonstrates. But either way, it seems to be very easy to see this for anyone not blinded by propaganda. The larger point to make here is that Americans have been conditioned to forget, to ignore their own history, be it due to being led to believe it doesn't exist, or due to the fact that or the effort to convince people that it just doesn't apply because Trump is different or things have changed, except that they haven't. They have carried on just as before and in many ways intensified or gotten worse. And only your perception of reality has changed. The very things that would have been horrible under, say, Obama are now part of the plan, and we all must trust it. But what happens when time passes and it's still the same hyper-war-focused intentions and more losses of rights? How long can it be explained away as a long con or deep strategic plan to trick the enemy? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But at some point, we must stand back and acknowledge the reality of the situation, and that the real plan, the one that's been underway for decades, if not more, is being carried out right in front of us, and it has nothing to do with what's best for the American people. And it certainly is not America first. So I have just a quick show today, and as I also conducted an excellent interview with Eva Bartlett about an hour ago, and I highly recommend you check it out, especially if you are on the fence in regard to Syria and maybe just mainstream media propaganda in general. But to begin today, I want to address a point from yesterday, essentially addressing Russia's response to what happened in Syria. Now, Russia stated, and I'll read right from their statement, "Our worst apprehensions have come true. Our warnings have been left unheard. A pre-designed scenario is being implemented. Again, we are being threatened. We warn that such actions would not be left without consequences. All responsibility for them rests with Washington, London, and Paris. Insulting the president of Russia is unacceptable and inadmissible. The U.S., the possessor of the biggest arsenal of chemical weapons, has no moral right to blame other countries. Yet then, right after that, which that statement was made right after the attacks, and then Russia, right following that, kind of stated that the airstrikes did little damage, and then it kind of apparently chose not to act. Yet that statement was spread today as if implying that there was like an imminent threat, which there still might be. There still very well may be carried out attack from Russia, but I felt this was sort of disingenuous, and I thought it was important to point this out, to make it look like the statement was made the day after, even though Russia had already seemingly rethought its retaliation. Now, again, it's likely that they may still do something, but that statement was sort of meant to be made right afterwards saying that there was something coming, right? They had a pre-designed response, yet clearly then they kind of backed away. And then now they've been talking to the UN, and I don't know, I saw this kind of presented a lot of ways today, making it seem like that was imminent. Like everyone's worried that Russia's about to attack. And I thought that was a little disingenuous, and I wanted to point that out. Again, it's still possible that something could happen, but the way that this is interpreted, as far as I see it, it was a statement made right afterward, and then they essentially rethought what they were going to do, which to me kind of shows that they're more of the rational one in this whole dynamic. Nonetheless, I just think we should be careful. I don't also want to make anyone look bad. I think to some degree, people just saw it for the first time the next day and reported on it, which is totally fine. But it's important to know the timeline here and see when this all happened, because to me, it appears that Russia's probably not going to take any action. But again, it's highly possible. But just to kind of set that straight for people who may be confused. Moving on to the next story coming from Medium.com and written by Caitlin Johnstone, the U.S. empire has been trying to regime change Syria since long before 2011. Now, this is an excellent article outlining something to many of us that's kind of common knowledge, but a lot of people have been, like I said in the intro, kind of manipulated to not really acknowledge this history as real, or either this that doesn't apply today. But this article does a great job of outlining, I think, about five or six different points of why it's very clear that regime change and the kind of things we're seeing, even like deceptive nature, like a way to manipulate perception in regard to Syria, and that kind of thing has been going on for a long time, long before 2011, which is when the war started. Now, it starts with one from Roland Dumas, a statement where essentially the former foreign ministry of France, and how he was basically made aware of the coming events and violence in Syria in 2009, 2 years before it started. And he speaks out about that and how he knew ahead of time, which is pretty damning. And it also discusses General Wesley Clark's statement, which a lot of people are familiar with, about how the U.S. is planning to topple seven countries in 5 years: Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. Very interesting how those all line up with what's going on today. Even WikiLeaks showing that the CIA had what we are seeing in Syria today planned as far back as 1986. Now, you know, again, all of the things are backing up the same idea that this has been a plan for a very long time, ultimately kind of demolishing this lie about the humanitarian crisis. You know, again, which to many people already don't believe that, because we've seen that this is clearly what looks like a false flag or some kind of staged event. But again, regardless, the point is here that this has been planned for a very long time. So we need to begin to question these mainstream narratives because it doesn't line up. And I think that's what's important. So this is an article I highly recommend everybody really dig into and get all the information. Next story coming from theantimedia.com, Netanyahu praises American leadership in airstrikes on Syria. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu praised the U.S.-led strikes on Syrian targets on Saturday, no surprise there, with a warning that Iran's presence there further endangers Syria. Now, I point this out because clearly Iran is his focus, and his praise, in my opinion, is meant to justify his coming attacks. Now, we've already seen two previous attacks. The first one, which almost went unacknowledged by mainstream media, was before this all started happening, and they attacked a base in Syria, which is what creates that's a war crime. I mean, they can't just unilaterally strike a sovereign nation like that with no premise, even though we're seeing it all the time, but it was just completely disregarded. And now we just saw another recent one that we're still seeing conflicting reports. But as far as I can tell, there was another strike from Israel in Syria, an Iranian base that supposedly took the lives of Iranian officials. And so now we're seeing Iran speak out and saying that they can't let this stand. And, you know, clearly this is escalating to some degree to something that I feel like has kind of been a plan all along. And that's something for us to consider, that it's entirely possible that creating this kind of tension and pretext to single out Iran could have been the plan from the beginning, at least in some part. But We've talked about Iran for a long time and how this has been something on the table and Iran's been a focus. I mean, we've seen the rhetoric all the time, but to some degree, they have to build up this kind of manufactured consent, but it's getting harder and harder. So this may be a way to kind of sidestep their way into getting Iran involved, because Israel and Iran have been at each other's throats for quite a long time. And obviously we've seen Israel take these actions with impunity, like absolutely nothing. No one even acknowledges half the time. And they're just striking people all over the place. And so I think we're going to see this continue to increase. That's my guess. We have to wait and see. But clearly, I think that's what this is all about. But to see Netanyahu praise the attacks, it just clearly, I think he's trying to set it up to make that, you know, that was a good thing. So here, ours is a good thing too, is kind of the way I'm reading that. But we'll have to see. Moving on to the next story, it's actually a YouTube video that I thought it blew my mind to some degree, even though I knew this was already taking place. And obviously, this is in the show notes. I highly recommend that you all check it out. It's only about 8 minutes long, but this guy essentially does a test to see how much and what degree Google, Facebook, whatever else are listening through your microphones and then using that for advertising or whatever nefarious purposes, I would say is in addition to that. That's the kind of at face value, that's what they're using it for. But even the point is that it's still a crime for Zuckerberg to lie in front of Congress. He just basically lied in front of Congress recently saying that they do not use your microphone. They don't listen to you, on and on and on. We've seen the same claims coming from Google. Yet, clearly, we do kind of know that's happening, but yet this guy decides to put it to the test. So what he does is he essentially starts out by writing on a piece of paper what the topic is, and it was dog toys. He doesn't say it. He just holds it up and says, this is the topic. He talks for about 4 minutes about, you know, just general stuff and goes on to look at, I think, 8 or 9 different websites. Looks at all the ads, you know, checks them all just kind of innocuous random things. Then he makes a point to talk about the point. He says dog toys, and he goes on for about 1.5 minutes talking about just kind of, he says as if he was talking to his friend, saying, oh, I'm going to go buy dog toys. I'd love to buy some dog toys. I wonder where the nearest dog toys are near me. All the things that they have, the trigger words, you know, looking for black and red and all these different things. And then he decides to go back on right afterward. I mean, it's a live feed. It's a live feed. Goes back on a bunch of the same websites that he was just on after closing out his entire browser. It's not like he had them open from before. You can see him open it all. And then immediately, the very first one he looks at, all advertising for dog toys. And you could tell he was shocked. I don't think he expected it to work, is kind of what he said. All dog toys. Goes to the next site, dog toy ad. Very top, it's like red and black toys, and the colors that he said. And literally, I think it was 6 out of the 8 sites that he looked at had some kind of dog toys or dog food or something like that. And it upset him. And he just said, I can't do this. I'm done. And just logged off. But the point here is that that is happening. And that every moment, what I'm saying right now through this microphone is at least to some degree being monitored and at least through some kind of algorithm, even if it is just for advertising, they claim that's not true and they've lied about that. But I always argue that it's much more than that, and that they're listening to what we're saying and they're using it for all kinds of different purposes, really whatever they deem necessary. And that should be alarming to us. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, Trump next generation presidential limousine unveiled. And this is one I want to touch on because it frustrates me to see this kind of thing, because there was a great video, and I was unable to find the link. It was from a while ago. Redacted Tonight did a great little segment about the fact that there is a major teacher strike going on all over the place. It also is not getting covered very much, but that they're striking because they're not getting the materials they need. They're not getting the funding they need, yet we're willing to spend billions of dollars overseas and, you know, fund the military 10 times over, yet that we can't afford to buy new books and pencils for students. You know, it just shows you where their priorities lie. But yet we're able to spend all this money on a whole new fleet of Cadillac limousines with armored doors. And, you know, it's just wild to see that. Obviously very expensive, especially when it was simply because he didn't want to use Obama's presidential limousines, which is kind of what it alludes to. Yet they were working perfectly. There was nothing wrong with these limousines. But he chose to spend all this money on a whole new fleet of armored limousines made by Cadillac. And it's just frustrating to see this, yet we can't find money to fund enough for these teachers so they will stop protesting. I mean, it's so frustrating that it's amazing to see where our priorities lie here, that we're willing to spend so much money overseas, supposedly America first here, where we're invading other countries and we're funding the military, again, more than the next 8 countries combined. Yet we cannot find money for our teachers and the students and the children of this country. I mean, it just blows my mind. There's many other examples than just teachers, but it should show you where our priorities lie here. And that's kind of the ending point here that I want to point out, is that our priorities have always lied with what's going on overseas today, whether we realize it or not. Because it not only is that, you know, good for the military-industrial complex, is very profitable for all of these arms. I mean, it's also important to point out that the United States government is the leading arms dealer in the world. That's a fact. Looked it up yourself. Here, I have plenty of information in the show notes. People don't realize that. Yet we're claiming to be supporting peace and spreading democracy, yet we're selling the most weapons to plenty of other dictators in the world. And it just shows you that this is what it all comes down to. We're being manipulated and showed this picture of something they want us to believe, when in reality, it's much more nefarious. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.